Good morning, church. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. We were here on Friday night. If you were here on Friday night, it was the best worship night I think I've ever been to. The Spirit of God was here. There was just so much joy. I mean, I just had so much joy. And it was just so accessible. It was easy. I'm sometimes just so thankful for easy, because we're not promised easy. We're not entitled to easy. But boy, it's just like this little treat sometimes. And Jesus, he's not easy, but his love is free and it's abundant. And so when we can step into it and worship him, oh, it just fills me up. So that was an awesome time. And now we get to do it again.
Yeah.
So we're thankful to have you this morning. If this is your first time, we're thankful to have you. If this is your 1,000th time worshiping with us, we're super thankful. We're so thankful to have you. We love you guys so much. I just am feeling that right now. This is our family. Like, this is our church family. And we love you guys. So we're going to worship together this morning.
Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to do a call to worship. And before I do that, you know, sometimes the Lord ministers to one of us and kind of gives us a word or a theme. And as I was walking this morning, doing my prayer walk, one, it was a little colder than I was expecting. I did have shorts on.
Whoops. You had shorts on?
I did have shorts on. I did have a jacket on, though, so it was somewhat warm. Okay, but as I was walking, I was like, Lord, what is it today? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it your mercy? Is it faithfulness? Is it restoration? And the only thing I heard was Jesus.
I guess it gives
me goosebumps even saying it.
It was just too.
Jesus. That's it. And so I just want us this morning to, every word we sing, that we will put our focus on Jesus. 100%. Happens to be what my message is about today. Jesus, only Jesus, always only Jesus. That's our focus this morning. Psalm 29, I'm just going to read the first two verses here. It says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So, Father God, we come before you today. We stand in your presence. We sense you're here now already. Jesus, we just want to worship you today. In spirit and in truth, our focus, our eyes, our hearts, our words is all about you, Jesus. The mighty, precious name of Jesus. So Lord, have your way in this place. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in this time of worship, of fellowship and the word, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship Jesus.
So I'm looking in the Word, and as we were worshiping, the Lord starts speaking to me about Hagar. And she was the servant of Sarah. And Sarah was mistreating her, and she ran away. And the angel of the Lord came to her and said, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. And I just had this sense that, you know, sometimes we flee into the wilderness. And we struggle. That's what the wilderness is. It's struggle. But he's the God who sees. He's the God who sees. So that's in Genesis 16. And then Hagar's talked about again in Genesis chapter 21. And again, let me go down here. Hagar was sent away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness again. And when the water was gone, she put her child down and she went a little ways from him because she didn't want to watch him die. But God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God again called to Hagar from heaven. And they had a conversation. And in verse 19, it says, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. He is the God who sees in the wilderness. He sees us. It is us who need our eyes to be opened that we might behold him and receive from him instruction. Earlier in chapter 16, I think it said, you know, go back to your servant, go back to your mistress and submit to her. I'm not thinking that that was the word she wanted to hear. And then she did it, and it doesn't seem like it worked out for her because here she is again after having her son now in the wilderness again. So it's, can you imagine? I can imagine my conversation with the Lord on that one. I did what you told me to. I did it, and it stank, and I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And now here I am again, and now my child is going to die? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know if you've ever had that conversation with God, but I have. It's snarky and it's ugly, and he loves me in it. He loves me through it. But what he does when I get over myself is he opens my eyes. So church, we're going to take communion today together, and I just want to encourage you. He's the God who sees. He sees where you're at. He sees what you're struggling with. He sees and knows it more clearly, more completely, and understands it even more than you do. And he's the God who sees. You're going to come up and you're going to take your elements, hold on to them. We're going to partake of it together. The plate in the center is gluten-free. I'm going to dismiss you. You can come up the center aisle and then circle back to your seats. Don't swim upstream like the chosen fish. Pastor Jason loves it when I say that. He thinks it's the funniest thing. No chosen fish. Circle back to your seats, and we're going to partake of communion today. We're going to ask the Lord to open our eyes to see him.
As Pastor Liz was sharing that, I was just reminded of the scripture in Luke that links us taking communion to our eyes being opened. And I think that's appropriate to read here this morning. And this is after Jesus' resurrection. He has yet to ascend to heaven, but he was walking the earth, and he was, you know, meeting up with his disciples. So he's already conquered the grave. How many of you know that we're on this side of the grave being conquered? And everything that Jesus paid for on that cross is ours. Every bit of it is ours. So he's on the road to Emmaus, and there's a couple disciples that are walking with him, and they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And I don't know how that happened or how that worked or what. They didn't have the facial recognition software like we have today. I don't know. I'm not sure. But they didn't recognize that it was Jesus, and they were walking with him. Maybe it was cold. Maybe their hoods were up. I don't know. But it says this in Luke 24, starting in verse 28. Then they draw near to the village where they were going, and he, Jesus, indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him. They constrained him. They said, no, don't go any further. Don't go. Stay with us. And their words were, abide with us. Abide with us. I think somewhere in their spirit, maybe their eyes weren't opened yet, but they knew they needed to spend some time with this man being Jesus. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Church, Jesus is here with us today. We've invited him in, and he is here. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Sounds like communion to me. He sat at the table with them. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And that word knew there isn't like a friendship kind of know. It's a deep knowing. It's an intimate knowing. It's knowing him on the deepest level possible. And I believe this morning when we take communion, our eyes too will be opened to his love for us, to his care for us, to his sacrifice for us, that he's with us, he's walking with us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And we may feel like we're in the wilderness this morning, but he is walking right beside us. He is right there, and he is saying, let me open your eyes this morning. Let me show you who I am and what I've done for you. As we opened this morning, we said today we just felt was going to be all about Jesus. So just take a moment and focus. Focus on Jesus. His sacrifice, the price that he paid on the cross, his body broken, his blood shed, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the restoration of our bodies, for everything that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus. Jesus, 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 we thank you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we honor you. We fellowship with you this morning, Jesus.
We receive you, Jesus. Trust in you.
And Lord, we bless this bread. We break this bread. And as we partake in this bread, Father, we receive open eyes. Things which we didn't understand or couldn't comprehend or didn't see, Lord, we will see you in all the details this morning. Jesus, we'll see you in every area of our life. Jesus, we invite you in. We invite you in. We ask you this morning, come in to every area of our life. And open our eyes to see you more clearly. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you, Father.
Let us partake. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We receive opened eyes this morning. We receive, Father God, from you. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes in every area. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, stand with me. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. The altar is open. Come on up if you feel like, you know, you just want to do. Be in front of the Lord and be just in his presence. You can worship from your seat. You can walk around. There's no rules here this morning, okay? Let's just worship him.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Church, by his hand, we stand in victory, and by his name, we overcome. Praise. So whatever wilderness you're walking through, however dark, because I've seen dark, and however long it's been, You hold on to his name. You hold on to his hand. He does not fail.
Amen.
It is by those two things that we stand in victory. And as we were singing that song, the Lord said to me, you know, you stand in victory, and then there's more overcoming and more victory and more overcoming and more victory and more overcoming and more victory. And I suffer sometimes because I just think, like, this is it. I'm on the mountaintop. I've come through the dark place, and he has delivered me, and I worship, and I'm thankful, and I'm flying high. And then something else comes, and I thought we were done. Like, I did everything, and I thought that we had the victory, and there's more. There's more. There's more. Until we get to the other side of heaven, there's more. But he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never fails us. And the more we practice his presence, the more we practice overcoming, the more skilled we get, the stronger we get in our faith, so that when we battle more fiercely. And then people can follow in our wake, and we become then skilled warriors. And then we can protect the weak, and we can bring them up. The weak cannot protect the weak. The immature cannot disciple the immature. You understand? We overcome, and he sees us, and it's by his hand, it's by his name. So that we can bring others with us. It's not just us. That place you're in, that wilderness you're in, it's not all about you. There's a bigger purpose. There's a bigger plan. There's more people who need to know what you know. Gosh, Mason, I'm looking at you. They need to hear what you've been through. And then they need to meet the Jesus that you've met. Not the other one. Not all the versions that the world thinks, but the real Jesus.
As I just feel to close this time of worship with a reading out of Isaiah 61. It's all about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console all those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Thank you, Father.
So, Lord, we receive all of that this morning. That you may be glorified. That you may be glorified. Lord, we glorify you. Church, just glorify him this morning. Give him the praise due. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise your holy name.
You are worthy.
Jesus, we worship
you.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. The end of Isaiah 61 goes like this. So I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause the righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are worthy, faithful, and we glorify and honor you today. Give you praise and glory in your precious name. Amen.
All right, church, we're going to transition into a time where we take care of business, can greet one another, talk with one another. If you have kids with you today, the nursery is open for ages 0 to 3. Littles Ministry is open for ages 4, 5, and 6. Family Room is open. If your kids are in service and they just need some freedom to make a little bit more noise, you can take your child to the Family Room, but parents have to stay with their kids in there. Don't ask some poor mother who's in there with her kids to babysit your kids, because she'll say yes, even if she doesn't want to. So let's not do that to the moms or the dads. Okay, sorry, the blessed mom, not the poor mom. Kid Corner. If you are ECF kids, you know the drill. If you're a guest and your child is ages 7 and up, we have some sermon bags. They have some little things in there for keep the kids' hands busy while they're listening to the sermon. So you can head over there during the break. If you're a guest here, we welcome you. On the back of the seat is a connection card. That is a place for you to put your email. Mark that you're a first timer and we'll send you a welcome email. And that connection card can come up into the offering buckets. And that's the last thing. Bring up your tithes and your offerings during the break. Do it with great joy, knowing that God gives seed to the sower and he makes all the seed 100%. He gives us 100% and we give a small portion back to him. So that is up here during the break, and then we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Hello, hello, hello. It is announcement time. How many of you love announcements? Woo! Yeah, I hear all the cheers and two hands. This is good. All right, so we got a few announcements. First is our young adult life group is this Tuesday at 6 p.m. in the Rose at the Rose Center this week. Rose Center is right up here. If you are 18 to 28, this group is for you. You want to make sure that you come. It's a lot of fun, and there's a Bible study and just a lot of laughter and a good time. So come check that out. We also have Women to Women, and it is happening at a new time. We've announced it for the last few weeks, but it's going to be happening this Wednesday at 6:30 at Maureen's house. It is for any woman that attends. If you have a friend, you can bring them with you. But it's going to be, usually it was at the Rose Center, it's at Maureen's house. If you need the address, you can call the church, and we will give you the address. Or you can see Maureen if you just raise your hand. She sits up front right here. She can give you her address. You won't want to miss it, 6:30 p.m. this Wednesday. Another announcement, March for Life. So March for Life is obviously pro-life march that's going to be taking place in Harrisburg on the 16th. You can see it up here. Eden brought this to our attention. Eden, go ahead and raise your hand. All right, and she is right back here, and if you have questions, please see her. But there is a bus leaving on October 16th from Erie, and the bus ticket is $30, as you can see. They'll be driving down to Harrisburg, doing the march, and then coming back that same day. If you are interested in doing that, you can see her, or we did send out an email, a church email, and there is a link on there to be able to register for the bus and get your ticket. And then, exciting announcement, water baptism. How many of you came to our last water baptism service? Yes? Awesome. It's going to happen again. We're going to do another one before the end of the year on October 29th. So if you have not been water baptized yet, this is a great opportunity for you to do that. And you can sign up at the back table. Just write your name down, and we will get you connect with you about the water baptism service. So it's going to be great. Last announcement, how many of you have been watching the news yesterday and have heard about Israel? Israel has been attacked by Hamas. If you do not know who that is a terror organization that functions out of Palestine, out of the Gaza Strip, and it's funded by Iran. And they attacked Israel pretty brutally with The numbers are still coming in, but 2,500 to 3,000 rockets. They send in a couple hundred of their fighters by land, by sea, and by air, believe it or not, with hang gliders and different things, paragliders, to go in. They ransacked homes, killed about 300 people so far, as far as we know. And it's just a really bad situation. Israel declared war on them, and so, I mean, it's all out attack right now. If you follow Bible prophecy, this is a big deal, just because there are things that have to take place. The Bible revolves around Israel, and the return of Jesus all revolves around Israel. If you want to know how close we are to the return of Jesus, just watch Israel, and you will find out. And so this is one of those situations where it's just accelerating the process for the return of Jesus. And so I want everybody, just all of us, to just really pray for Israel and really set our hearts. Like, Jesus is going to come back. And it's going to be an amazing time for us when he comes, but it's also going to be a very heavy time, you know, for people. A lot of, when you read through Revelation, a lot of people lose their life and in this process. And so it's imperative that we seek the Lord with all of our hearts and just be ready, like the five virgins that were ready out of the 10. There was 10 virgins, and five of them were not prepared for the return of Jesus, and five were. And let's be those five that are. Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to pray for Israel, and then Pastor Jason will come up. Father, we come before you, and we just intercede right now on behalf of Israel, Lord God, and we ask you, Lord, to make Jerusalem a praise and a peace in all the earth, just like you told us to pray in your word. We pray for Jerusalem, Father, when we ask you to protect them in this moment, Father God, to act on their behalf, Father, and deliver them from their enemy. Lord Jesus, we pray for all those that were taken captive, Lord, that somehow, some way they would be able to live and be returned to their families. We pray for all the families who lost their loved ones, Lord, in this attack, and we ask you to send laborers to them. Lord, comfort their hearts in this time. We pray for all of those that do know you, that follow Jesus in Israel, and that you would give them boldness and courage to proclaim your name, Lord Jesus, and that Israel would be saved. And Father, we pray, Jesus, send Jesus to us. Send him back. We cry out for him to come back and for you to bring peace to this earth. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Andy. If you don't know, Pastor Andy is our resident expert at all things Israel. Well, you're an expert to me compared to where I'm at. End times, all those different things. In fact, and maybe we can put this up or send it out, but Pastor Andy got to do a panel on the end times and the return of Jesus and the tribulation and all that a couple weeks ago at another local church. It was sort of last minute, but it was called Doctrines That Divide. And there's a YouTube link to it. Maybe we can send it out. It's a, you know, there's a couple different pastors from different churches locally that all discussed it. And with stuff that's going on in the world right now, I mean, it's something to keep our attention on. And the Lord's word for us, for you personally, for us as a church, has always been, be ready. Be ready. And that's different than get ready. Right? It's a get and be are two different words. Get means it's like, okay, I'm going to get there at some point in time. I'm going to get to my location. Be is, I'm ready. I'm here and I'm ready. And so I just would encourage you guys. That looks different for each person. And I do know that no matter what happens, the Lord will always be with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And on top of that, as we were talking at the break, and somebody who just read through Revelation, is we don't have to fear. Church, we do not have to fear what is going on in this world. The Bible clearly tells us, do not fear. Do not worry. Those words are repeated over and over and over in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. He constantly tells us not to worry. So even though we see things going around, you know, you feel this little, you know, our heart feels, you start to feel something, the Bible says do not worry. So the best thing to do is to take it to him. Take it to prayer. Say, Lord, right now I'm feeling a little anxious about this. I don't know what's going on. I know that people said, you know, that that last round, that COVID was something and it was just a preparation and I'm scared about what's coming next. Be honest with him. but give it to him. Submit it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this right now. I need your help. It's okay to feel that way. And it's okay to speak. He already knows it anyway. It's not like you're going to, God's not up there going, oh, you have a little anxiety about this? This is so shocking to me, my son, my daughter. He already knows anyway. So just give it to him. Be like, God, I am feeling this way. I need your help. And guess what? He's our helper. And he delivers the help. Amen. Okay. Well, this all week, I was been so excited. We had a Wednesday night prayer. Then we had the Friday worship night. And it was double trouble for the devil. Amen. Double trouble for the devil. In fact, one of our congregation members saw me walking, and this is kind of funny. I had no idea anybody saw me walking from the Rose Center down here, but I just felt such the power and presence of God. And you know what? We're going to give the devil some trouble. Amen? We're going to give the devil some trouble. And he said, I was walking. Man, I was walking like I was looking for the devil to give him some trouble. And I didn't realize it. I was just walking from my office down here. And it must have been, I don't know if it was the stride or I'm not sure what I was doing. But the way I was walking, I was like, come on, devil, where are you at right now? I'm about to walk into this church place. We're going to have a service today. And the devil's going to flee because the Bible says we resist the devil and he will flee from us. And flee doesn't mean he's going to crawl away. No, he's going to run. He's going to run in the name of Jesus. And that's why I think this whole service was about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, well, guys, you're in for a treat next Sunday. Next Sunday, we are going to, so this week, we are leaving Pastor Liz, Pastor Andy, myself, Sid, Jenny, and Mike. We're leaving to the One Focus Network Conference. I think I've mentioned this multiple times. We're part of a church network. It's our overseeing organization that's called One Focus. It's a group of about 25 to 30 churches based mostly in Pennsylvania, New York, and the Virginia area. They do an annual conference that we get to go to every year. This will be our fourth or fifth time going. It is such a blessing. So one, we are excited. So pray for us. We leave Wednesday. And then Pastor Liz and I will also, after we come back, we're going to take some time to process everything that the Lord is speaking to us and our team over that. So we'll be gone next Sunday. Pastor Andy and Sid and some, they'll be back, but Pastor Liz and I will be gone. But Brother Paul Luciano is going to be preaching. Yeah, what do they say? He's going to preach the paint off the walls? I don't know. Somebody, I feel like we used to say that. I'm not sure that even makes any sense. But what he is going to be, he's going to have the message next Sunday, and he's super excited about it. He's in Branson, Missouri. I think they're traveling for the past week, couple weeks. You haven't seen him. But he is getting ready. He is prepared. And then that evening, he has his Sunday night kind of healing school or Bible study that he does. So Brother Paul Luciano, all Sunday next week, he's going to be all about what the God has put on his heart. So looking forward to that. Boy, I have a lot of things to say. Okay. And then Pastor Andy mentioned the email. If you don't get the email about the events that are happening at our church, you can. You just have to go to our website, and I think it's the top right-hand corner, says something. You'll see it. It'll make sense to you as you read it. It won't say about us. It won't say, you know, ministries. It won't say give. It'll say something like information or click to sign up for the email. It'll say something like that. So click on that and sign up, and then you'll get our emails, and you know about events that are happening. And then we are super excited. It's not really an announcement, but those who have already previously signed up, we're having a newcomer lunch after church today for those who have been coming, faithfully attending here for the past year or so. And so we're looking forward to that. And yes, Pastor Liz did make mac. See, people even remember. She did make the mac and cheese. And I was a very strong participant in that this morning, cleaning all the dishes for the mac and cheese that was made. So, anyway, looking forward to that right after church today. So if you have signed up, don't forget, don't leave right after church. Up at the Rose Center, we have lunch. Okay, scripture for offering, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. I'm just going to read verse 6. I'll probably do verse 6 today, maybe when we get back, verse 7, then verse 8. They're all kind of linked together. But this is the opening part of it. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And this really gets into the law of sowing and reaping, and you can see that all throughout the Bible. This isn't just a verse that you pick out of out of 2 Corinthians and use it. But this is really something that the whole Bible talks about. And this sowing and reaping principle, it actually works in every area of our life. I don't know if you know that or not. Husbands and wives, you can sow love, encouragement, and care into your marriage, and you will receive back love, care, and encouragement. The opposite is also true. I don't have to go into those details. Newlyweds back there, I'm looking at you too. Okay? This whole principle of sowing and reaping, it affects us financially, relationally, and really in every area of our life. So how many of us, including me, I would like to be one who sows bountifully, not just financially, but in every area of my life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your, just for your laws and the way they operate, for your promises, Lord, that we can stand on and trust. Father, we thank you that they're all there. Even the commands and the laws are there for us, for our protection, for our blessing. And so, Father God, I just pray that this church has always been and we will continue to be a church that sows bountifully into this community, into the school that is here, Father God, in all the areas and ways that you have commanded us and shown us and led us to give as a church and as a people. So, Father, I just pray over every gift, every giver this morning, Lord, that you will just abundantly bless these tithes and these offerings. And, Father, as we get into your word today, Lord, that you would just open our ears to hear, but more so, as we've been saying all morning, our eyes to see you more clearly. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles or your devices, whatever, to Matthew 5. We are doing a message series called the Sermon on the Mount. And we are walking through each scripture, and usually the scriptures are, you know, in little paragraphs together. How many of you know when the Apostle Paul, wrote the New Testament, or when Matthew wrote this book, they didn't write a chapter and verse, right? These are our ways. You know, if you pulled out the old scroll, you know, you found the old Dead Sea Scroll or whatever, and you started looking at some, it wasn't like chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 2. But when people write, they write in these groupings. And so there's passages of Scripture that kind of work together. And what I want to say is this, and I'll talk about it a little bit here in a minute, but I think this is important. As a church, as a people, as a believer, I never want us to take one Scripture alone and stand on it. What I want us to do is to take multiple Scriptures that all correlate to that promise. Because we know that Scripture interprets Scripture. And many times we'll pick out a Scripture that how it pertains to something, and we'll use it totally out of context. And so in this, as we go through Matthew chapter 5, I want to pull in other Scriptures from other areas of the Bible, because Scripture interprets Scripture. And I think it's important that the themes that we see all throughout his entire word remain consistent, remain true, and are really the same from the beginning all the way to the end. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all very much the same. It's God's ultimate plan of redemption for his people, and he did it through Jesus. That sums it up. There you go. He has come, he died on the cross, he rose from the grave, and he's coming again. Amen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. I'm going to read 17 through 20, and then we'll break down each verse. This is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, meaning the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus, the ultimate fulfillment of the Scripture. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, now I'm reading New King James Version, and I'll give you the translation in a minute, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now, maybe there's some English scholars out there, and you knew what those words meant right away. I did not. I knew the concept of the verse. But anyway, I'll explain that in a minute. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Like, I'm looking forward to get to that verse. Like, what is Jesus saying? He's saying that our righteousness, in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, has to be greater than the church leaders that were there during those times. That's exactly what he's saying. And I want to explain that to us. I think it's very important. All right, verse 17. We're going to break this down. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus, when he came, he does not do away with this entire Old Testament. He doesn't do away with, and it says, the law and the prophets, meaning the law, which is the beginning part of the Old Testament, and the prophets, which is sort of the second part of the Old Testament. Jesus says, I did not come to destroy all that. I didn't come to wipe it all away, to say it's not valid anymore. It doesn't work anymore. What Jesus says is, hey, guess what, guys? I came to fulfill it. I came to fulfill every word that was previously written. I have come to fulfill those things. So how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus fulfill this destiny? Number one, he fulfilled the demands of the law. He fulfilled the demands of the law. So if you look at the law and you read it, and all the things that, you know, about sinning, about breaking the law, about breaking the covenant, about breaking the Sabbath, all these things, you'd be like, how is that possible? How is it possible that we can go do this? But Jesus, church, he fulfilled the demands of the law because he lived a perfect life. You and me? Uh-uh. From the moment you woke up to the moment I'm talking now, not one of you was perfect this morning. Sorry. You may think you were, but I'd like to have a conversation with you afterwards. I want to go line by line, step by step, every thought you had, everything you did, everything you said this morning so far. Okay, we don't have to do that. You get my point. None of us are perfect, but Jesus lived a perfect life of obedience to the law. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it's not up there, you'd have to write this down, says that Jesus was tempted. Church, Jesus was tempted in every way just as you and I are, yet he was without sin. Doesn't that bring you some hope? Isn't that refreshing to know that the one we serve, the one who laid down his life for you and me, was tempted in the very same way you were tempted this morning? However that might have been, the person who cut you off, the child who continues to want to wear summer clothes, and it's 45 degrees out. You cannot wear that outfit, Maggie. She's not here. God bless her. Okay? So, he didn't have kids in that sense, but the Bible says he was tempted in every way that we are tempted. In every single way, yet he did it without sin. So how could we not just stand there and say, Jesus, help me. I need you in this situation. I invite you into this situation. He fulfilled its demands of the law because he lived a perfect life. Only he can say that. Only he was able to do it. And no one else ever will be able to do that. He was tempted in every way, just as we are. So whatever you're going through, Jesus has been through it. Like, well, he wasn't a mom. Well, he led people. Everything that we're tempted with, he has been through. And he has conquered it. And he is our help in our time of need. The second way that he fulfilled the demand of the law is that he took the law's punishment for our sins. Church, this is so huge. We could talk about this for weeks. Jesus took the punishment of, you read the law, you read the sacrifices, you read what had to happen. The blood sacrifice, you got to bring an offering for sin, you got to bring an offering for this. He fulfilled all of that by going to the cross. It says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from it. We no longer have to experience it. We no longer have to have a destination of going to hell. He redeemed us from the curse of having to go and to death for all of eternity. He redeemed us from it. He made a way. The Bible says the only way to the Father is through him. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by redeeming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. He paid the price. He bought it with his own life. He fulfilled the demands of the law. Second way that Jesus did this, how he fulfilled the Old Testament and the prophets, was that he fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. This absolutely, like if you're a statistical person, a mathematical person, or you just like, you know, probabilities, you know, like, Maggie, again. Does anybody watch the movie Spirit? You guys know the movie Spirit, you know, the horse, you know, and the, you know, okay, the whole thing. Well, at the very end, there's this scene where the horse and the rider who's on the horse, they look at this cliff that they need to jump over. Like, this is huge. There's one mountain here, and there's this massive opening. And the rider gets on the horse, and they're like, and the horse is like, oh, no, no, no. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And they start running, and they jump. It's, ooh, the music's going, and, you know, the guy's, you know, flying through the air. The horse is flying. And Maggie goes, that's impossible. She's so accurate. She's like, Dad, she's six. She's like, Dad, there's no way that that is possible. Like the distance and the speed that they're, I'm like, because it was playing on the car and on our DVD. I look back, I'm like, what? She's like, this is impossible. There's no possible way that this could happen. It's impossible. And whenever I hear the word impossible, I think of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. It is impossible for a book to be written over 400 years by over 40 authors in different languages in different countries with different prophecies saying that one man will come and fulfill all of these things, born in Bethlehem, from Nazareth, born of a virgin, all the, well, that in and of itself, okay, there's impossibility, right? So all of these things come, even throw that one out for a second. The statistical probability that one man, Jesus, was able to fulfill all of these prophecies is impossible. It's impossible. It can't possibly be. But God. But God. So how did Jesus fulfill all of these prophecies? Because God made it be. Because God made it so. So he fulfilled every one of these Old Testament prophecies. And if you look at that, you know, the statistical probability, it's like, you know, 1 times 10 to the, I don't know, 120th power or something like that. That's a lot of zeros. Anybody who remembers math class. 120 zeros is a lot of zeros. It means basically it was impossible. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And then the third way that we see that he fulfilled the law and the prophets is that he revealed the true meaning of the law. He revealed the true meaning of the law. So you look at this law and say, man, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Why would I do this? Why would I do that? Here's why. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Says, owe no one anything except to love one another. The law, all of it. The true meaning of the law is love. That's what Jesus was. That's what God is. It says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. You guys know the Ten Commandments, right? You shall not covet. This is written in Romans by Paul. There's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's written in Romans. Love is, so Jesus came to fulfill all parts of it and to show us the true meaning of the law, which is actually love. Because he loved us. God so loved the world. Verse 18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So Jesus is confirming something here. And he says these words, I say to you. That means, listen up. I'm telling you the truth. So pay attention. I am saying this to you. He is confirming the continuity of the authority of the law. It means that just because I came and I have fulfilled all of this word doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything anymore. In fact, quite the opposite. And quite in fact, it means these few things. It means that God's word stands forever. Church, God's word stands forever. The Bible says in the beginning, and then it says it will not pass away. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And it says in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Church, the end of the book says Jesus is coming back. Guess what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come back. Yeah. Wow, shocking. So because he came, it doesn't nullify this stuff. And the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, as it's written, when Jesus is alive and then post, you know, with Paul and all the letters to all the different churches, God is telling us that his word will not pass away. Not only will it not pass away, but that every part matters. Every word that he has given matters. This jot or tittle means the smallest letter or the smallest stroke of a pen. I'm talking about my kids a lot today and all the ones that aren't in here. My Ruby Lou, and I don't know where she got it from, maybe a friend of hers that may or may not be in here, writes so small. You literally need a magnifying glass to see it. Now look, I'm late 40s, okay, and I don't currently wear any cheaters, but let me tell you, I don't know what power of cheater you need to read Ruby's writing, but it's got to be like 2.5 or greater. There's no doubt. Maybe 3, maybe 4. She writes so small. But it's interesting. This is what Jesus was saying is, the smallest letter, the smallest stroke of the pen, if God said it, it will happen. If God said it, it will happen. And we look at the word and we look at all the prophecies that are yet to come. If he said it, it's going to happen. And I want to encourage you this morning that it's not just even in the Word of God. I know for a fact that as long as we heard from God correctly, and many of us do because we get confirmation and it lines up with the Scripture, it's if he has given you a word, it will come to pass. Stand on it. You know how often I go back, and I think I've told you this before, I have this note in my phone. It's like, you know, 7 things the Lord told me to go do. And that's what it started with way back in 2010. But I write down every word from the Lord that I've gotten either directly from him or prophetically from somebody else, someone that I trust. And I write it down. It is now, I believe, over 20 pages long, like 11 font, minimal margins, single spaced. Okay? 20 pages of words from the Lord that he has given me. Some paragraphs, some one-liners, that I go back and I read them. At least twice a year, I'm like, let's print, because I don't know what I did with the last version. Print. And the word of God, to me, what he has told me, begins printing out on my printer. And I grab it, and I just read it, and I read it. And it encourages me personally. Jason Ackerman, the words he gave me. And I want you to do the same as well. If you haven't started journaling or writing down or putting somewhere things that the Lord has told you and shown you, I suggest that you do it. Because when you go back, you begin to read it and be like, man, he actually said this was going to happen. This actually came to pass and it's encouraging. Or there's something that says, you know what, I'm holding on to this promise, God, because you told me this was going to happen and I believe that was a word from you and I'm going to stand on it, I'm going to stick to it. Because the Bible tells me that his word will not return void. The Bible tells me that not even the smallest stroke of the pen, even my sweet Ruby Lou's handwriting, something that small that you would seem or feel is insignificant in the grand scheme of things, if it came from God, it will come to pass. God's word stands forever. Every part matters. Verse 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And I believe what he's doing is he's beginning to call out the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because he gets into it a little bit further in the next verse. But here, as I studied this, read that we must practice and teach all of it. And that's what I said in the beginning. A lot of us want to take just a certain scripture or certain one, this one little thing, and we want to apply everything to it. But the whole Bible, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. All of it is the Word of God. And it's all a story of God's redemption of mankind. And it all works together. And people get all worked up about, I don't know, whatever it is. Let's just pick women in leadership. And they get all stirred up and torqued up because they see a verse in here. But you know that from the beginning of time, God and Jesus himself have been promoting and encouraging women from the beginning of time. He's been encouraging and promoting women from the beginning of time. But we take one little thing and then we wrap ourselves all around it. But if you look at the whole gospel, the whole picture of the Bible, you begin to see themes and begin to understand things, and we take things out of context. So as your pastor, I have to help with that. And I have to help teach in these areas. But this is what God is saying, is you must practice and teach all of it. Because the Pharisees and the scribes in those days, they would just pick and choose the things they would like to do. Yeah, I like that commandment. I don't like that one. They tithe their 10%. But they didn't love anybody. So they walked around in their fine clothes, their fine linens. You know, they probably weren't walking with the same strut I had this morning. Mine was more of a devil, where you at? You know, but theirs was probably more of like, you know, prideful and walking around like this. Yeah, I know everything. I know all the scriptures. But they had not love, which means they had nothing. It didn't matter if they tithed. It didn't matter if they gave 20%, 30%, 40%. God didn't care because they had not love. And so here's what he's calling out here, is the whole law revolves around loving one another. So if we're not loving one another, we're missing the whole thing. We're missing the whole point. We're missing all of it. We must practice and teach all of it. We are called to be models of his word. And I'll tell you, this doesn't do me any good, but more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. You know how many people, I mean, we don't talk much about parenting and our marriage, but I believe Liz and I, we model more of that probably, and you see it more than I actually talk about it. And I do believe that those things are, and it's true, it's a true statement. Things that we understand and learn are more caught than they are taught. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop teaching you, sorry. Okay, last verse here, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That is sobering. So Jesus is calling out the religious leaders of the time, and he's saying their righteousness, what they believe, the reason for their righteousness is not going to get them into the kingdom of heaven. My good works, and I've given, and I've served, and I've done these things for people, and I'm a nice person, and I helped the old lady across the road, and, you know, and I went, when I was Tim Hortons last, I paid for the person behind me. I did one of those, I don't know what they call it, something fun. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if we think for a moment that our good works and our good deeds and all the nice things we've done are going to get us into the kingdom of heaven, we've missed the entire point of the Bible and the gospel and why Jesus came. We missed the whole thing. You've missed it. It is not about works. It's not about our own righteousness. It's not about what I've done or who I am or my position or everything that I've, you know, done. Oh, I've never murdered anybody. Well, we'll get to the true definition of murder because it is in the Sermon on the Mount. I actually probably do that when I get back, so yeah. So don't raise your hand that you didn't murder anybody yet. We're going to talk about that. Whew, that's tough passage. Where was I going? Oh, we think that we, oh, you know, I follow the Ten Commandments. I Sabbath. But if you have never received and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your righteousness is worth nothing. Your good works is worth nothing. It cannot get you into heaven. It cannot get you a relationship with Jesus. It cannot get you into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying it right here. He's calling it out. And the Bible clearly says all have sinned, all have fallen short. And the only way to get to heaven, the only way to truly have righteousness is to accept Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's the only way. So the righteousness of the Pharisees was this. It was self-serving. It was self-serving. They're like, hey, look at me. I got power. I got money. I got all these great things. It was partial. Jesus called them out on it. They would tithe. Oh, look, but I've tithed all my spices and my mints and my frankincense and my myrrh and my gold. I've done all this, all these good things. Look at me. And it was external. It wasn't internal. It wasn't from their hearts. But there is a greater righteousness. There is a greater righteousness that Jesus came and paid the price for. And this is what it is. This righteousness is based on Jesus and Jesus alone. Straight up, only Jesus. Always only Jesus. Our righteousness, our ability to be clean before God and to get into heaven someday has nothing to do with our good works. Now, does that lead us to good works? Because we want to do the commands of the Bible. We want to feed the poor. We want to help people. We want to serve people. Absolutely. But all of that's an overflow and an outflow of this first righteousness, which is from Jesus and Jesus alone. And it is credited to us by faith in Jesus. It is our faith and our belief that Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he's done. And the cross is real. And the resurrection is real. And I believe it and I receive it. And you begin to believe in faith. And you begin to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. You will enter the kingdom of heaven. Because of Jesus, not because of your works. And it is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. It is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. He continues to work on us, not just from a righteousness perspective, but a sanctification. And he constantly has us moving forward. It is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And this greater righteousness that's based on Jesus alone and our faith in him leads us to the kingdom of heaven. Not by my works, but by his. Let's pray this morning. Sid, if you want to come back up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you were here in the beginning, I said that as I was doing my prayer walk this morning, one, it was chilly, but more importantly, when I asked the Lord, what is this all about today? What is our gathering time all about today? And he just said, Jesus. Jesus. That's all he said. And I believe that our time of worship, our time of encouragement, the message today is all about Jesus. We'll just bow our heads this morning, close our eyes. Just take a minute and focus on Jesus and what he's done for us, church. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we invite you in this morning into every area of our life. Jesus, we invite you in. We believe you are who you say you are. You've done what you has been written, and we trust and we believe in you today. I just feel if there's anyone here this morning, just everyone's eyes are closed. Everyone's heads bowed. If there's anyone here today that says, I need to invite Jesus into an area in my life. You maybe you've already accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you say, today is the day I'm receiving Jesus. I feel that pulling, that calling. But not just that, but if you just are saying, today I'm going to invite Jesus into an area of my life that I've been holding him out on, just slip your hand up this morning. Just put your hand up high. I'll see it and I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Who else? Yes, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Jesus, we just invite you in. Father, I just thank you for the boldness for those who did raise their hands, Lord. You see their struggle. You see their wilderness. You see their challenge. You see their situation. Lord, they're asking you to invade that area today. So Jesus, do what only you can do and invade that area. Jesus, we invite you into every area of our lives, into our relationships, to our finances, to our jobs, to our marriages. Jesus, we invite you in. Lord, open our eyes, Jesus, as we spoke this morning, earlier. Open our eyes, show us, lead us, guide us by your Holy Spirit on which way to turn, what to do, what to say. Lord, our cry is this week that we wouldn't even open our mouths even one time without the Holy Spirit being the one to fill it. Father, give us opportunities to witness, to give our testimony this week. Jesus, we receive you today. We receive your righteousness. And Father, we won't stop doing good works, Lord, but we understand this morning that it is not by our good works that we're saved, but only by your blood, your sacrifice, and your love. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to, as you did, as we are your hands and feet, to truly fulfill the law on this earth by loving one another. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory for it. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Well, up here, we're going to have a couple prayer teams up here. If you guys could start making your way up even now. They're up here to pray with you. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you did as we were praying. I want you to share that with them. Maybe you need prayer for healing or relationship. Whatever it is, don't rush out of here without being in agreement with someone on prayer, on some area or situation in your life. And as we close, I want to read this benediction out of Romans 16. Just receive this today. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone who is wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen and amen. We love you guys. Have a great week. And if you're going to the newcomer lunch, you guys can mingle a little bit, then head up to the Rose Center.